Welcome to Epiphany Fellowship's podcast, where our goal is to see people everywhere show off the glory of Christ in every area of life. We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by today's message and will allow the Word of God to dwell in you richly.
Well, it sounds like y'all are excited and thankful that you have a promise-keeping God. I don't want to preach my sermon, but when you wanted to throw in the towel, when you wanted to give up, for some reason, somehow, some way, he just always shows up right on time in the way you need him to show up, and it's good. Before we jump into the sermon, I hate doing this, really. When they give me this card, it just kind of throws me off just a little bit, but I'm going to read what's on the card, okay? We made mention of it earlier with Pastor Mark, that Solemn Assembly is coming up. At the top of the year, we take a second to reflect, one, on what God has done, but also to prepare our hearts for what God will do in the new season. So we really want you to participate in this, be a part of this. This is not just another activity that you can do. This is actually a part of the Christian walk. To get away from some stuff, to hang up the phone, to log off. Some of us just need to log off so that we can actually hear from the one and only voice that matters. So I pray that you would join us for this solemn assembly. Again, we're the theme for this year is culture shift. And we got some really good stuff coming for the solemn assembly, but also just for the year. And so we want you to be praying about how God can speak to us and use us so that we have a clear understanding as we move into the new year. So please join us. That starts January 8th through the 28th. You'll get more information on when we gather as a whole collective body, then also I believe some regional groups will come out of this. And so just be on the lookout for all of it. Check your emails, check your text messages. Don't just throw us aside. Check that stuff, all right? Get on the Church Center app. Y'all quiet this morning. Dang, come on. I'm just trying to get through this. But y'all going to be a part of this? Okay, amen. That's what y'all was just waiting for the question. There it is. All right. But we also want to take a second and celebrate a faithful, loving, caring pastor at Epiphany Fellowship. We want to say happy birthday to Pastor Mark Lyons. Y'all could do better than that. Come on, give it up for him. Yeah. Happy birthday, man. We love you. We celebrate you. I was here yesterday, and the guys had a chess thing going on. And I came down, I said, oh, look at y'all playing chess. Pastor Mark was like, man, I'm just here. I don't know what they doing, doc. But he is a true friend. He's a faithful father, husband. He's a faithful pastor. He be shepherding people. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. And got the patience for it. I be like, woo, Jesus, give me patience like that. But we celebrate you on today and ask the Lord for many more years of life. One more time, can we celebrate Pastor Mark? Yeah. All right, let's get into this word. Meet me in Isaiah chapter 61. Lord, give me grace, please. Isaiah 61. And I'll read for your hearing this morning, but I do want you to follow along. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Isaiah 61. When you got it, say, I got it. I'm getting a little feedback up here. We're reading from the CSB version. If you don't have it, you can look on the screens that are there. The scripture reads like this. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and freedom to the prisoner, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, festive oil instead of mourning, splendid clothes instead of despair. And they will be called righteous trees, planted by God to his glory. I just want to read verse 1 one more time, and I'll give you my text. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. If I could, for the moments we have together, like to tag this text in our exchange: I've got good news. I've got good news. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've got good news. All right, that neighbor didn't really care to talk to you this morning. Turn to the one next to you on the other side and say, hey, neighbor, it's good to see you. I got one thing I want you to know. I've got good news. Yeah. Lord, I call on you. Hurry to my help. Lord, set up a guard for my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips. I can't make it without you, Father. Can't do this without your Spirit. And so now I beg of you, please meet your servant. Give me conviction of heart, concision of speech, to stand on your word and your word alone. Help me to tell the truth, the whole truth, because we know the truth sets people free, and we want to be free people. Have your way. I'm taking long because I really need you. I need you to intervene. I need you to speak with my mouth, stand up in my body, give me strength now. But in the process of you doing all of those things, I'll be careful to give your name all glory, honor, and praise. Because it's due you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my Redeemer, in whom I trust. And every glad heart said, amen. You may be seated. There is a poem written by an unknown author that goes something like this. I just want to share it with you this morning. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you've traveled seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debt is high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit. Rest if you must, but do not quit. Poem goes on to talk about the twists and turns and the failures of life, yet at the end gives us a call to continue. And it says this in the ending phrase: it's when things seem worse that you must not quit. And I hear you loud and clear. You're asking this morning, what if I'm at the end of my rope? What if I'm ready to throw in the towel? What if the diagnosis doesn't change? What if the marriage isn't all it's cracked up to be or all I've imagined it to be? What if the child never gets right? What if? I can't leave you at despair, so I came this morning to say, what if I had good news? But before I give you the good news, let me echo the words of this poem, "Do Not Quit." I thought I'd get more amens than that. It's all right. I'll say it one more time. Do not quit. Here's why you shouldn't quit. Because for the last few weeks, we've had this title, "Help is on the way." Because help is on the way, there is good news. And the good news is that the Anointed One comes to bring good news, watch this, to every area of your life. Let's be honest, you ain't shout because you're skeptical. You don't think that help is really on the way. You actually have a hard time believing that my life can actually get better. Y'all quiet, and that for me, as a preacher, it shows that I'm in the house. It's okay. I'll be the first to be honest. Sometimes. Most times. All the time. I have what we would call the human experience. Where life just be life. Y'all ain't gotta say amen. I know I'm telling the truth. Because it be life in my life. But what if I told you that the text we find ourselves in has people just like you and I? Skeptical. Wondering if help is really on the way. Wondering if good news really can come to me. I understand. I hope I can catch you up so that I can get a little bit more amens and make this sermon go a little bit faster. But here it is in Isaiah chapter 61. It is considered the fifth servant song. Servant songs start at chapter 42 of Isaiah and end at chapter 53. This chapter 61 being what I call the divine recap. Isaiah chapter 42, which is the first servant song from 1 to 9, it introduces the servant of the Lord. Y'all hanging with me? It's just background commentary. This is how we got to know context first before we start applying things to life. Some of us, I'll pause here, it's not in my notes. Some of us just read scripture and then try to apply it when it didn't mean what that. All right, let me go ahead. The word has to mean what it meant then. Now, you don't get to make and choose what you do with God's word. God's word. All right, here we go. Anyway, Isaiah 49, the second servant psalm, speaks of the Messiah's work in the world. His success. It says that the Messiah displays God's splendor, restores God's people in verse 6 of 49. It also talks about that he is honored in God's eye. Then you get to the third servant song, which contrasts Israel's sin to the servant's obedience. Aren't you glad that somebody was obedient when you weren't? Man, I'm just like, I really want to ask the Lord to give us a church that really responds to the fact that we are messed up. And we ain't got to stay there. We ain't got to stay there. But we need to acknowledge it. The first step to recovery is you got to acknowledge it. All right, anyway. All right, here it is. But it says that the servant, and I'll tell you who the servant is in a second, but the servant was obedient even though Israel sinned, and Israel can be placed with us. We are Israel. We are those people that could be inserted into this text because we have some issues. We have sin ever knocking at our door, waiting for us to come on and answer it. But here is the obedience of our Father. Of the Son, Jesus Christ. But then it goes on to the fourth servant song, which describes the suffering and the triumph of the servant of the Lord. And all this is written to people like you and I. Well, who are these people? Y'all been talking back to me this whole time. I'm glad y'all asked all the right questions. They are an oppressed people, controlled people. They were powerless in this time. They were a powerless nation full of grief and mourning. But beyond those who were mourning, there was a small group of people who never gave up hope in God's promises. Let me say it again, because I think this is what differentiates between those who are really about it and those who are faking it. There are many of us in this room right now that are the called and the chosen by God, but we won't stand on his promises. We know somewhat of what the word says, but we don't act like I'm by myself. Come on, y'all help me. Somebody, come, please. Like you gotta understand that this idea is not new. Israel was a people who was brought out of Egypt. Seen God make way after way, moment after moment, and only a small group of people had enough faith to believe that the God of my salvation will always stand on his promise. About a few amens, it's still a small group. Let me increase your faith as we continue on in this text. Among the mourning Israelites, there were a small group who never lost hope in God's promises. Here we have a collection of hope-filled promises that were good for them and should be good for us. It should be good for you and I. Here it is, because the anointed one comes to bring good news to every area of your life. I really don't have much outside of that. Like, you really got to understand that he brings good news. I'll argue the point. It's all right. But I know that that's still not good enough for you, so let me show you why you shouldn't quit. One, the anointed one brings clarity for confusion. Look in verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Did y'all see it? All right, let me keep reading. I like the way the NIV says it. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Did you see it that time? Did you see the clarity that he brings? All right, watch this. Some of y'all need to catch up. All right, here we go. It says the Spirit. The Old Testament Hebrew word would be ruach. It shows up in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. It says that the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the water. It didn't just stop in the Old Testament. It made its way into the New Testament, into the Greek, and it says he's the pneuma. It shows up in Luke chapter 3 verse 22. He descended like a dove when Jesus was being baptized. the spirit, it's the breath, it's the wind, it's the intellectual frame of mind. The spirit. But the next one is the Lord God, or the sovereign Lord. I'm going to catch up in a second. Y'all still looking at me. I know. It's all right. It's the old Hebrew, Old Testament Hebrew word, Yahweh, the master, controller, owner, sovereign Lord. But right after that, it says the spirit of the Lord God, the sovereign Lord, is on me. Jesus, the anointed one, redeemer, son of God, son of man, savior. Did you see it now? Did you see the triune God show up in the Old Testament? Existing all at the same time. Unified. One God existing in three co-equal, co-eternal persons. They show up in the Old Testament and the New Testament. From eternity past to eternity future. From everlasting to everlasting. Now, why does this need to be said? It's because there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of confusion on who Jesus really is. There's a lot of confusion in our world today on whether or not he's actually God. Well, here's what I just showed you, that some of y'all might have been sitting in here and were confused because you don't even believe that. You don't believe that he shows up as the triune God. But here in the text, in the Old Testament, sometimes we run to the New Testament and we're saying, well, Jesus was baptized. God said he was pleased and the Holy Spirit came like a dove. But my Bible says all scripture points to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you why you need some clarity for your confusion. Because if you get this wrong, everything else is going to be lopsided. The reason why I'm staying here at this part of the text is because the good news is there was a sovereign God who never ceased at being God, but wrapped himself in flesh, came upon us, and died for my sins. It took God to satisfy God's wrath on my behalf. You ain't got to do none of that organ. I'm preaching the way I have it, just empty. There's a lot of confusion in our world today. And I came to let you know that this is good news. This triune God showing his face is good news for the believer because it is the foundation that helps us to understand everything else in life. Here's the good news. You don't have to be confused anymore. God's word has said what it said. And here's the thing. Some of us need to stop listening to preachers who don't believe in the triune God. Would you trust the two-legged chair? You got to take God at his word. What does he say about himself? Says it in the Old Testament and the New. If you get this wrong, your foundation is off. Not only will the anointed one bring clarity, but two, he will bring healing for the heart. It says he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Heal here literally means to fasten, to wind around, to wrap, to bind. This is interesting, to imprison, to govern. I like this word. Me and Pascal were talking about it. It means to fetter. Y'all know the old song, Come Thou Fount. Well, there's a story behind that hymn, and I always like to listen to hymns and like to find out what the background story was. So I looked it up. There was a man named Robert Robinson, and he had a rough childhood. When he was very young, his father passed away. And so this caused him to act out. He was over in England where he was born, and his mother had some problems. The story goes on to say that she sent him to kind of like a home or a boarding home to kind of get himself together, but that just didn't work. He got into the wrong group of people, and so he was just getting in all types of trouble. And one time he decided to take his crew to heckle the preacher at a tent revival. Unbeknownst to him, the word he would hear that day would arrest him for 3 years until he gave in. He went on to preach the word of God because of those words that were spoken by that preacher during that time. He went for one reason. But he came out with a different purpose and plan for his life. But he goes on to preach, but then also he goes on to write these lyrics. He says, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace now, like a feather, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Friends, this is what the Lord, the Savior of the world, comes to do. The Anointed One comes to tie you to himself. Comes to bind you, to fetter you, to take your wandering heart that wants to give up. And he says, "I won't let you give up. I'll connect you. I'll bind you. I'll wrap you to myself. I imprison you to me. I don't want you to lose it all. I want you to be tied to me." I bring that up. There are people in this room brokenhearted, torn, hurting, and wounded. But I got good news. The Anointed One comes to heal the brokenhearted. For my Bible says in Psalm 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted, bandages their wounds. But not only does he come to heal the brokenhearted, the Anointed One brings escape for the ensnared. Lord, give me grace. It says in the text, it says to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoner. This points back to chapter 42 and 49, where it says in chapter 42, verse 7, it says, in order to open blind eyes to bring out prisoners from the dungeon. The dungeons back then were dark. Your eyes would have grown accustomed to the darkness. But he says, I've come to let those who have been bound free.
Hallelujah. Huh.
Yes. Chapter 49, I'll give you some more, because that's what y'all need. Y'all need Bible anyway, we all do. Here it is, chapter 49, verse 9 says, saying to the prisoners, come out. And to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They will feed along the pathways. It's a call that you actually are enjoying the darkness. But no longer will you stay in darkness because I'm calling you out. This is just good news, and I'm not really doing much. I'm just reading the text. He comes to set the captive free. And I don't know who I can preach to. I'm going to take a second. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I want to know if there's somebody in the house this Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve morning, who can testify that I'm glad I've been set free. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was okay in my darkness, but he came and he rescued me. I was all right in the darkness. I was living my life. I was doing my own thing, but I'm glad he came and snatched me out. He comes to set the captive free. The better translation would say the most complete opening like that. Like, you got to understand. It really leans itself to he wasn't going to stop until everything was fulfilled. It was completely open. It wasn't like a cracked door. It wasn't like the elevator was getting ready to close. You had to slip your way in. No, he said, I'm going to make sure they all know that the door is open. Come here, child of God. That's why at the end of Jesus, while he was on the tree, he said, it is finished. Every way I needed to make, I made. Every door I needed to open, I've opened. Every window I've needed to open or shut, I've done what I needed to do. It is finished. Everything I've come to do, I did. I come to set the captive free. But then this is interesting, because right in the middle of verse 1 and verse 3, he puts this what seems a little awkward to me, but he says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is a reference to the ancient Israel practice, the year of Jubilee. It is meant to happen every 7 times 7 years, where everything would be reset. Oh, man, y'all don't get hype about the Bible, dog. Y'all ain't excited about it. Okay. It literally is pointing to a custom that was happening. But all the things was pointing to the Savior that was to come. He says, I understand that what they did, that was wrong. But I've come to turn things upside down. And you got to understand that you benefit from the Lord God turning things upside down. I'm going to keep moving. It's all right. In this time, the slaves would be set free. The prisoners would gain freedom. All debts were canceled. Families received back their land. Do you see it? Though they might have been unworthy, because there was one who came and turned it upside down, they had benefited from what he had done. God give us a church. You and I, if not for Jesus, would still have to pay for our debt. But you stand here as a free child of God. And sometimes we get up here and we gotta beg you to thank God for the freedom that you have. I wonder if there's anybody in here this morning who can thank God for the freedom that you got. I ain't talking about the freedom of your mama. I ain't talking about the freedom of your granddaddy. I ain't talking about the freedom of your kids. I'm talking about the freedom that you experience. Can't nobody free you like God can free you. And I wonder if there's anybody in here who can celebrate on the last day of the year that I'm glad he's freed me. Freed me to walk uprightly. Freed me to live right. Freed me to love right. He's freed me. All right. It points backward to that custom, but it also points forward. Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he quotes this very passage. He is the one who fulfills the prophecy. Jesus says, I've come to proclaim. This is when he starts his ministry. I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He did not come to just say he had good news. He came because he was the good news. Y'all probably sitting here like you arguing the same point. That's what the text is doing. I'm just here to remind you that you have been set free. And the reason why you're free is not because of a word that you heard. It's because of a person who came down. 42 generations who... I want you to know that you've been set free by the one and the only one who could free you. He says, I have good news. He says, I am the good news in Luke chapter 4. Just to see if I can make it plain, there was a small boy who who had been consistently late for dinner. Now, I know what y'all thinking. Ain't no child of mine gonna be late to come into the dinner table. If I say dinner is right now, you get down here. I'm just telling a story, okay? This ain't your house. But I don't know who these parents are. They got a lot of grace, okay? But they would say to him, "Hey man, you know, come on down. You it's time to eat." And he was late every time. And he never got the idea that, like, hey, my parents are really serious, that I really need to be down here for dinner. So one time, he came down and he sat down at the table, and he, in front of him, rather than the meal that they had prepared, it was a slice of bread and some water. In their silence, he sat there staring at his plate. He was disappointed. I mean, the boy was crushed. And suddenly, the father reached his hand over, grabbed the boy's plate, put it in front of him, took his own plate, and gave it to the boy. Now, if in your house, if I told you to do something, do it. Some of us sometimes we lack grace. I know how kids are. I got two young ones. I told y'all, we teach her first time fast. We need you to come right now. But do we have enough patience, like the Father has patience with us, that though we deserve the slice of bread and the water, do we switch our plates to say, though you were disobedient, I'll still feed you? Well, that was you and I. Though we deserve the wrath of God, he said, you know what? I'll take that plate from them, and I'll give them a plate of righteousness. I'll give them a plate of love and compassion. I'll give that to them because I love them enough. All right. It goes on to say, the year of the Lord's favor, but then it says, the day of God's vengeance. Now, if you look at Luke's account of what Jesus says, Jesus doesn't say this part of the verse. He stops it at saying, the Lord's favor. You got to understand, the Lord's favor was talking about the Jubilee. It was the freedom. He came, he said, I am what's going to set you free. That was the first advent. But the second advent, we're going to hear that the Lord's vengeance is here. All right, let me see. Jesus leaves this portion out on purpose because the year of the Lord's favor was tied to his first coming. But the God's vengeance points to the second coming. The first advent was a package with love or joy and restoration. But anytime we see the reversal of what God would do for his people, you do know that there's going to be some haterade happening. Remember, he came for the poor. Why not come for the people who had everything you needed to maybe conquer a kingdom? He says, no, I'm going to turn things upside down. So when I come, I'm not going to come for those who, quote unquote, deserve it. I'll come for the ones who are left out, the least, the lost, and the last. And I'll turn things around. And when I turn things around, it's going to be some haters in the house. And he says, it's all right. I ain't scared of the haters. And neither should you. He says, you ain't got to worry about them. Even though I'm turning things around, it's not going to stop me from blessing those who are the poor in spirit. I'm not going to stop at those who, just because there's an adversary that's looking and searching for those. You do know that anytime you do something for God, the enemy is upset. We read the story almost every year when they heard that the baby was born. what does Herod say? He says, when you get there, show me where he is, and I'll come worship him. Now, we all know that ain't right, because later on, it says he killed every child 2 years and younger. Because when the true king comes into the picture, every other king got to bow down. Help me, Holy Ghost. The enemy never likes when you actually submit to God, because he knows once submitted people get a taste of how good God is, they can't be stopped by anybody. And I wonder if you have made up in your mind that I don't care what comes my way. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard, but I'm not going to give up. God has been way too good to me, and I'm going to give everything I have to him because he's been that good. He comes. Just look at Job for a second. Just for a second. Job had everything. Was really a man after God's own heart. And when he submitted to God, what happens? The enemy says, "Hey man, I know you say that he's one of yours. But if you let the hedge off of him, I guarantee you the man gonna cuss you out." He's going to say, "I never knew you." He's going to do it. But watch this. Job remains steadfast. Yeah. Yeah. My God, he says, he rips off his clothes. He says, if I got to go out this way, I will, because I know you are faithful to me. I don't want to leave you in despair, but I do want you to be realistic that life will bring what life brings. But I've got good news. That even when it brings what it brings, look at the text. The anointed one brings comfort to all who mourn. It says, the anointed one will comfort all who mourn and provide those who mourn in Zion. He's consistent. That even when the hardship of life is pressing down on you, he says, "I've made a promise to you that I'll keep you. I'll bring you joy. I'll bring you comfort. I'll be with you." And sometimes it doesn't feel like him being with us is enough. Sometimes, I have to be honest, sometimes I want to say, "Lord, can you just do a little bit more? Can you turn it around just this time?" But what I have to be reminded is that this life is not it. Y'all, listen. This is not the end of the road. And I hear you, because your thoughts are very loud. You're saying, "But it hurts." You're saying, "It's difficult." You're saying, "Why me? Why them?" You know what? This is true too. We look at the wicked prosper, and you say, "Lord, they don't even care about you. They neglect their kids. They lie on their taxes." It's the craziest thing. How you neglect kids, but then you put them on your tax? You got 15 kids on your, that's my child. That ain't your kid. And we look at it and we say, "Lord, why does the wicked prosper? Why my family gotta suffer? We done came to every Wednesday night Bible study. We done came. We went to the choir. We done went to church every Sunday in the snow, in the blizzard. And then these millennials, they come only twice every 6 months. And we really say, why does the wicked prosper? Why can't I get a break? Can I tell you something? There's good news. There is good news that though difficulty is there, you can still be given joy in the midst of it. I'm finishing. He says, I'll comfort those who mourn. But it then goes on and he says, I'll do a little bit more. I'll give them a crown of beauty for their ashes. I'll give festive oil. In other words, I'll give joy for their mourning. And splendid clothes instead of their despair. But watch this. Because of him and him alone, he will call us a righteous tree. Watch this. It's a righteous tree that we ain't plant. But it's planted by the Lord. But here it is. You got to know that it moves from Jesus being the one who is anointed. He's always going to be anointed. But he's chosen you. He set you free so that you can be an example. You can be a replica of who he is. A tree that's planted. Oh, y'all looking at me funny. Look at Psalms chapter 1 verse 3. It says this. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves do not wither. It is to say that the one who has rescued us and saved us, who has comforted us, will then plant us to be those who are a display of who he is. It says, for his glory. Okay, you see a bunch of illustrations of trees within scripture. And that's for a reason. Because I believe the Lord is a divine, or he stands at the table and he's looking at all the pieces of this orchestra and he's saying, you know, y'all play this dark note. Right here, just play it. It's like, ooh. Like that ugly note, you're just like, what is happening right now? But then he'll bring in something over here to beautify that note, and then it accompanies that one note. And so this is what he does. He divinely orchestrates so that at the end of the day, it becomes this one beautiful sound that brings glory to him. You do know that your life, it's like that. That your life should play a note of God's faithfulness. Your life should play a sound. And though you might be by yourself, you know what I mean? You know, they don't sound too good, but you should get with some believers. And then their note accompanies your note. And then it creates this harmony. And all of it's supposed to do is say when the church gets together, it creates a sound that all points to the glory of God the Father. This is what it is. It says when you get together with God's people, when this blood-washed believer is playing the note of salvation and redemption, and this note, this believer plays their note and plays their instrument, and when they all come together, it's one beautiful sound unto God, because that's what we're called to be. He uses trees. You remember in the beginning when he said, you can have everything in here except for that one tree. He said, don't touch that tree. He says, after that, they get kicked out. Y'all got to do what y'all got to do. You're going to work the land. Childbirth is going to be, whoo, Jesus. Y'all going to go through all of that stuff. But then he says, I know that from the tree you were cursed, but from a tree I'll redeem you. I'm done. You got to know that what held us hostage, because we wanted our own way, that tree that we just had to have, that tree would work its way all throughout the scriptures, and watch this. We will be called trees of righteousness, planted by God. But I'm so glad that there was another tree that one day got cut down. And on that tree hung the Savior of the world. And watch this. He came 42 generations. Was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Born of the Virgin Mary. Suffered under Pontius Pilate. Was crucified, died, and was buried. He also then spoke words for us while he was on that tree. And I'm so glad that we are just an example of what it looks like to actually trust God and be who he's called us to be. And so now I say, because of the tree that was cut down, because of the tree that my Savior stood on, because of the tree that took blood all down that tree, because of the blood of the Lamb that was slain for me, I stand here as a tree planted by rivers of water. And I'm so glad when I get to the New Testament, I can see that my tree should produce more fruit, because I'm connected to the vine. And anyone who is connected to the vine should produce fruit. Saints of God, I'm just here to tell you that you can hold on to God's unchanging hand. No matter what comes your way, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Why? Because he'll comfort those who mourn. He'll set the captive free. He'll give liberty to all those who are in bondage. But he'll fetter us to himself, and he'll keep us until the day of Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that that's not how the story ends. But one day he will come to restore all things back to himself. And when it comes, there will be no more tears. There will be no more crying, no more weary days, no more sad days, no more disease, no more cancer, no more diabetes, no more anything, because he will restore all things to himself. I said he will restore all things unto himself. And while you wait, I dare you to lift him up. Lift him up. Still he speaks from eternity. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I want to know if there's anybody in the house this morning who can lift him up. Lift him up. Lift him up. Give him glory for waking you up this morning. Give him glory for starting you on your way. This is the last day of 2023, and I wish I had a church who can testify, if it had not been, I said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. He opened doors no man could open, shut doors no man could close. He made a way out of no way. He was a bridge over troubled water. I thank you for my good days. Thank you for my bad days, because if I didn't have them, I wouldn't know you could solve them. So is there anybody in here who can testify? Can't nobody? I said, can nobody do me like Jesus? Can nobody love me like the Lord? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength. I will rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. I feel my help now. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises, even in the bad time, his praises, when things ain't going right, his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
say thank you. With my lips, I'll say thank you. How I love, I'll say thank you. Yeah. No, you made it. You made it to the last day of the year. Next year, next tomorrow is a brand new year. I want to see those who can testify that he brought me, even with all the hell I've been through, he's brought me a mighty long way. And I'm going to wait on him until the victory. Yeah, I'll praise him even while I'm in the dark. I'll praise him with tears flowing down my face. I'll praise him, because though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Shout yeah, yeah. Until he comes back, I'll wait till he restores my father's memory. But on that day, until that day, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice that he died for my sins. I will rejoice that he rescued me, called me out, lifted me up, cleaned me off. Thank you. No, just take a second. Take a second. I want you to think over all of this year. All the things he's brought you through. All the things you're still waiting for him to do. The truth is, life is just a waiting room. It's a waiting room because we wait the day when Christ will return. His first advent, he came to save the sick, redeem those back to himself. And he's still restoring stuff even now, but there will come a day where all things will be restored back to him. Be put into their proper place. Crooked government officials will be dethroned. Kings and queens will still have to bow to the name that's above every name. Hold fast, family, to the promise, the many promises of God, that he's near to the broken heart and the crushed in spirit. And though he might not send deliverance from the thing now, one day he will. But in the meantime, hold on to the fact that he will comfort all who mourn. Watch this. He will continue to set the captive free. Our God has not left us alone. He has given us a comforter. Watch this. Who will comfort all of our afflictions, but then says, I need you to be an example of what it looks like when I comfort you. The scripture says that he will comfort you, but you are then to return comfort to those in affliction. You are called to be the righteous tree that he has planted. Don't you ever be mistaken that God did not save you just to remain the same. He saved you to be a change agent in the world. We're going into the new year and we're talking about culture shifting. God has called you to shift culture. He's put you in places and rooms and spaces, not for you to benefit of it on your own, but to be a change agent for his glory. Father, we thank you.
Hello, this is Dr. Eric Mason, founder and pastor of Epiphany Fellowship. Thank you for tuning in today. Hopefully the word of God was a blessing to you. Also, if you want to help us build the kingdom from Philly and beyond, particularly in inner cities, partner with us today. And if you don't know Jesus as Savior, based on his death, burial, and resurrection, place your confidence in him and go from spiritual death to spiritual life. Tune in next time so we can see you go from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. God bless you. Take care. We love you.